ask you to please turn with me to the book of Joshua and chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the question that we're going to address together this evening is, who will you serve? Joshua is near the end of his life, and like his predecessor Moses, he leaves the children of Israel with a vital message. Here is a man speaking from experience. Here in this chapter, he reminds them, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, first of all, of the faithfulness of God toward them. And his burden in this message is for the children of Israel to choose the right way and to serve God with sincerity of heart and in truth. And in Joshua's sermon here, in his testimony, there are a number of aspects of the Lord's character and dealings that he is drawing our attention to encourage us to make that right decision to serve the Lord. And when these aspects are applied spiritually, they provide that same call to obedience, not only as it was for the children of Israel, but for us this evening. It is a timeless message for all generations. First of all, we see then how Joshua calls their attention to the faithfulness of God. In verses 2 and 3, he speaks of the call of God, the separating call of God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. That's the situation as it was. But then God intervened in the life of Abraham, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan. We see the faithfulness of God in calling Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. One man, Abraham, the man of God. We see also the guidance of God. He led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. He led him. The faithfulness of God in calling Abraham, the faithfulness of God in guiding Abraham. But then the faithfulness of God in providing for Abraham. He led him throughout all the land of Canaan. He multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. And Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Well, there was then the wonderful provision of God. He was faithful in his call. He was faithful in his guidance. He was faithful in his provision. But then there was the separation of God, the faithfulness in separating Esau and Jacob. We know Esau was a man sadly given unto idolatry, and Jacob was a man called by grace who came to serve the living God. And we read that I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. There was a separation between Jacob and Esau. Then we see the faithfulness of God in his sovereign divine appointments. In verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron, I appointed them as leaders of the children of Israel, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And those verses following, 5 to 12, speak of the wonderful deliverances of God to the children of Israel. And then verse 13 brings our attention to the grace of God. And then we read, "And I gave, and I've given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you built not, you dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which you planted not do you eat." These are all a gracious gift from God. "In my faithfulness I've given you the land of Canaan. In my faithfulness I've provided for you." And so the first thing Joshua is doing in his testimony is reminding the children of Israel of the wonderful faithfulness of God. He's magnifying the glorious character of God in his faithfulness, in his call, in his guidance, in his provision, in his separation, in his appointments, in his protection, and in the wonderful grace of God toward them. But having laid down the testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness, Joshua then gives a solemn command to follow the Lord. And this is where we come to in verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." And so, having talked to us and ministered about the faithfulness of God, he's now calling us to serve this faithful God. Serve in the fear of the Lord. Fear this God. He's an awesome God. He's a holy God. He's an almighty God. He is a sovereign God. Fear him and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And he calls us to decision in verse 15. "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But then he follows on in verses 16 to 21 to get the children of Israel to understand that if they choose to serve the Lord, they must do so in dependence upon God. They cannot do this in their own strength, and they must do so with loyalty to God. "You've got to put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." So that is a basic outline of Joshua's message, and it's centered really in that verse that I read to you in verse 15. So let's make some application now this evening from this sermon of Joshua's. First of all, we see that life is a constant experience of having to make choices, having to make choices. But the most important choice that we make this evening is not who we might work for, is not who we might marry, it's not where we might live. It's actually whom we will serve. This is the most important choice this evening. Who will you serve? And in making this decision, there is a fundamental issue we must get very clear in our minds. It is not making a choice between an assortment of gods that includes in its number the God of the Bible. It's not you saying, well, there are many gods in this world and I can make a choice and I include the God of the Bible in this choice. That's not what Joshua is saying here. In fact, Joshua is making exactly the opposite point. He's grouping all the other gods in one grouped together, but separate, eternally separate, infinitely separate, is the real God, the Lord. So Joshua is making a clear distinction between following the Lord and following other gods. And if we're an unbeliever this evening, we are following one of those gods. We are following other gods. But the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, a believer is a person who is following God, who trusts only in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. He's forsaken the other gods. He's separated from them. And Joshua brings this picture in our mind, going right back to Abraham, and said, God called Abraham away from those other gods that they were serving, to serve the living God. So the choice is between following one God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, and serving other gods. Following one God, the eternal God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, or serving other gods. It is a choice between serving the uncreated eternal God of the Bible, the Lord, or serving other gods who have been created in the mind of man and by the hand of man to suit as alternatives to the Lord. The one God or other gods? That's the issue this evening. The one God or other gods? And we need to make a comparison in our minds to weigh up the issues. If you follow other gods, it is possible to satisfy them through your own efforts. But here Joshua warns the children of Israel, it's not possible to serve God, the Lord, in this way. You cannot approach this God in the same way as you might approach other gods, because he's not a manufactured God. He's eternal God. He's a holy God. And we can never satisfy the holy God. He's perfectly jealous of his uniqueness as the only God. He is the only true and living God. And it's vain and presumptuous for us to boldly decide to serve the Lord in our own strength or as an emotional decision. You may have heard people say, I decided for Christ and I decided I was going to follow him. And I did this, and I made this big decision. Well, if you've made it by faith, and you've trusted it, and you're trusting in the Lord, and you're doing it in his strength, and you're looking to him and him alone, that's a good thing. But if you've made a decision just in your own strength, like the children of Israel were doing here at the outset, then you need to be warned. Why does Joshua speak in such a seemingly discouraging manner to the children of Israel? They said that they will serve the Lord. And the people answered, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. And they go on and describe all the things, many of the things the Lord has done for them. And this is what Joshua said. You cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Whatever is Joshua saying? That's not very encouraging, is it? This type of language is certainly not the norm today, is it? The challenge of being a Christian is covered up rather than revealed. But Joshua was aware that through experience, this first response of the children of Israel to follow the Lord showed their statement of commitment to serve the Lord was because of what the Lord had done, not because of who the Lord was. And that was where the problem was. Yes, this God has delivered us, he's prospered us, he's given us the land of Canaan. We'll serve him. This is the giving God. This is the God who's going to give us prosperity. We'll follow him. It's going to be good for us. It's going to be good for our businesses. It's going to be good for trade. It's going to be good for the families. It's going to be good for our power. Oh, we'll serve this God because he's a successful God. He's a giving God. And that's how they approached it at first. And Joshua had to warn them, no, this God is a holy God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins in this way. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, and you do this following him in your own strength, you will fall, and it's inevitable. You'll forsake the Lord and you'll serve strange gods again, and he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he have done you good. You might say, well, at the beginning it's going to be all right, and we're going to serve the Lord with all our effort and with all our strength. But we're doing it in our own strength, and it won't be long before you forsake the Lord again, and you'll come under his judgment. They considered the past, and they realized that following God was the best option materially. By deciding in this way to follow God was based only on what he had done for them in providence. There's no mention here of what he'd done for them spiritually, what they'd learned spiritually in the wilderness. Because he had done these things, therefore we will serve the Lord. We'll be blessed materially. And so many people are like that today. We'll serve the Lord, because if we serve the Lord, you'll get abundant blessings. But Joshua needs to bring them to this point of making their decision. Not only because of what God has done, not only because what God can do, but for who God is. For who God is. That's the heart of following God. Who he is. Do they love God first? And because of that love and respect, wholeheartedly choose to serve him? Now notice the difference in the final testimony of the children of Israel at this point. Joshua's challenge has an effect upon them after he'd spoken those solemn words to them and said, this is about your relationship with God. Not about what God can do for you, but what your relationship is with him. And this God is a holy God. How can you come before him as such a holy God in your own strength, and you'll sin and stumble again? And then the people said unto Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. You will serve the Lord. And in verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. And Joshua's got the children of Israel to this point where he needs them to be. They'll worship the Lord for who he is. They'll obey his voice, his word. And only when the children of Israel had made that testimony did Joshua make a covenant. We will serve the Lord, meaning for who he is, not just for what he has done. The Lord our God we will serve, meaning here we will submit personally to his authority as Lord. His voice will we obey, meaning here we will follow his authoritative word. And so to emphasize the importance of this decision, Joshua makes a covenant promise, binding the people to serve the Lord. In other words, this decision is solemn and serious, and can only turn into a blessing if followed wholeheartedly. Well, what does this mean for us this evening? Well, we need to come back again to the call to make a choice. In verse 15, there is a choice. There is a decision that has to be made. But there's a right way to make this decision. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, first of all, acceptance with a holy and jealous God can only be through the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. The name Joshua means Savior, and Joshua as a type of Christ points people out of themselves to Christ. He's reminding themselves of the character of God. He's reminding themselves of their inability in and of themselves to serve this God, this holy God. They need a Saviour. And following and serving God then is to be an act of total dependence upon the mercy and the grace of the Lord. Moses, just before he died, reminded the children of Israel of this same truth. He said, depend on the goodness and grace of God. Remember, this land you are entering into, the land of Canaan, is a land of hills and valleys, and it drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God cares for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. This land is a land which depends totally upon God to bless it in his creative power. It's not like Egypt, which had the river Nile running through it, and you can irrigate it, and it's constantly flowing, this river Nile. You just dig your channels and you water your gardens, and it's there 24/7, day after day, month after month. It's not like that in Canaan land. Canaan land depends upon the sun, it depends upon the rain, it depends upon the showers, it depends upon the seasons. In Canaan, you must absolutely, totally depend upon the mercy and grace of the Lord, not only providentially, but spiritually. And then, thirdly, following and serving the Lord includes not only thanksgiving for what God has done for us, but who he is. Who he is. And this is very important for us. The children of Israel said initially, we will serve the Lord because of what he has done for us. Look at all the things he has done for us. We will serve for the material blessing we will get from God in the future. But they failed to understand the wonderful God behind their blessing. They worshipped the creation rather than the Creator. It is good to praise God for our salvation, his mercy, and for his deliverance and the provision in Jesus Christ. That's good. But we must also worship God for who he is. We must praise and admire his holiness and love and power and knowledge, because salvation is God's perfect means of bringing us to himself, that we might admire him and worship him and feed from him and grow in him. Worship him as the eternal God whose spiritual blessings far outweigh his material blessings. But then following the Lord and serving him involves sacrifice, it involves suffering, it involves separation, it involves commitment. Joshua said, now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. There's a separation that needs to take place in this following God. And as you make this decision in dependence upon God to follow him, you realize that it is indeed the most important decision that you can ever make in your life. In the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8, the Lord Jesus speaks of this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And there we see the Lord is calling us to follow him But he's calling us knowing that this following him involves a sacrifice in our lives. It involves a commitment. It's a serious decision. It's a big decision. It's an eternal decision. It's a decision which not only affects our life here, but it affects our eternal destination. And the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, the Christian life is constantly a life of choices that are being made to serve the Lord, putting him first. And so Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He takes the lead. He commits himself and his leadership of his family to a life of loyalty to God. This means all the decisions that will be taken are in the fear of the Lord and in prayer as the Lord's servants. And when comfort and coziness tempt us against commitment and sacrifice win. When staying at home rather than going to worship the Lord on his day, worshiping the Lord will win the day. When lethargy and laziness are presented as acceptable to the mind, zeal and service wins the day. Notice in our chapter from verses 14 to 21 how many exhortations there are to serve the Lord. 14 exhortations in these verses to serve the Lord. And the Hebrew meaning of serving here has the meaning of working for the Lord. And we trust the Lord, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, the heavenly Joshua, to save us and forgive us of all our sins freely and by his grace. And as a response of love and gratitude and worship, we are to serve him as the Lord of our life. The priorities of the house of Joshua were very clear. God came first. Christ was the head of his house, the unseen guest in the house. And finally this evening, God is very honest about what choosing him and serving him really means. There is no cover-up with the Lord. He calls us to consider seriously what it means to serve him. He calls us to make an assessment between the value and the eternal benefit of following and serving him against the short-term benefit, seemingly so, of serving other gods. If it seems evil to you to serve the holy, the faithful, the just, the gracious, the righteous God, the truthful God, follow and serve other gods. But you cannot serve both. That is the issue that Joshua is bringing the people to see. Not only that they cannot serve God in their own strength, but they cannot serve God in a compromised manner. They cannot serve God and the world at the same time. If you're trying to do that, you're not serving God at all. You're serving the world. Their God is a jealous God. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve other gods at the same time. If you are to serve the holy God, he calls you to live your life consecrated unto him. Well, may we come with the children of Israel here. The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. May this be our testimony this evening. And God has given us ways in which we can show that we serve him. This covenant that Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Well, we have the New Testament ordinances. We have baptism, which is a way whereby we show that we are going to serve the Lord. And participation in this ordinance, rightly entered into, makes a public view of our allegiance to the Lord. And in church membership, a believer undertakes as part of the body to serve the Lord in the church with commitment. Serving the Lord is a most blessed experience, but it is a very serious experience. And we are called to forsake the strange gods, the gods the other side of the flood, the gods of darkness, the gods that only do us harm, and to serve the living God, the true God, the only God. May that be our experience in our life, for his name's sake. Amen.